covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
You never know what you're gonna see when you go to the ballpark. You never know who's gonna get the big hit, who's gonna be the guy that shows up. And we talked about it in yesterday's game. When the Brewers get that hit, you're gonna know. And you're gonna get a reaction that you do not expect. And it's gonna be maybe in a style that you don't expect. And my goodness, did we nail that prediction yesterday? A go-ahead, two out, Joey Ortiz, two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth inning to give the Brewers a come-from-behind 5-3 victory. They were down 3-0. They clawed their way back with two runs in the sixth, a game-tying homer in the seventh from Bryce, and then the go-ahead homer in the eighth by Joey. The pitching staff was phenomenal today. We'll talk about them. And just getting back on track as you officially begin the mathematical second half of the season. Game number 82 goes by the way of the Brewers 5-3. It's another victory over the Reds. I'm Dominic Catronio with Jerry Augustine, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. It's another road show for me. I am in New York City getting some work done for TBS, and I tell you what, I think I could hear the roar from the dugout for the Brewers reacting to Joey's homer from here, Augie, because my goodness, that was a reaction, and what a great moment for the season.
Yeah, boy, did Joey put a nice swing on that. You know, you go through a game like yesterday, it was such a mind-boggling game, and you come up on the short end. You're looking like, what's going to happen? How are you going to turn the page and play the next day? But I thought this was really a refreshing day. That you know, Bruce Lodolo pitched very well. He only gave up the one hit over the five plus innings, and you know, you look at the way the game was going, and it turned out, you know, that the Brewers could keep it close, that they would have a chance. That's the way they play against the Cincinnati Reds, and what not better than having Joey Ortiz, who had been struggling a little bit, come up, put a good swing on the ball, and hit the ball to the ballpark and give him a big win.
It was a moment that I think exhibits why he's here in a multitude of ways, because we've talked about this before. I mean, he had that really good game on the road. I want to say the first game in Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, but the point being is Joey's still here, right? Cooper Pratt is here as well. David Hamilton is still here, right? So part of the reason for that, and I was talking to a Brewers official this week, somebody who's around the team a lot and has been through a lot in his own career, and was explaining to me how the Brewers get the clubhouse right and why that is so important, and that this person's been in clubhouses that the clubhouse wasn't right and it impacted that team. And it may surprise some fans that Joey Ortiz is one of those key quote-unquote glue guys in the clubhouse. And fans may assume because his performance is not this level that maybe Joey wants it to be, does that mean he's a bad teammate? That is so far from the truth. Joey is one of those guys that the guys look to for a smile. Joey is one of those guys that is always, he's a baseball rat, which is kind of the highest compliment you can give a guy. He's always got a bat in his hand. He's always working on a glove if he's just sitting watching MLB Network in the clubhouse, whatever it may be. And I think it's perfectly exhibited, Augie, when you look at the clubhouse and the dugout reaction when Joey got back to that dugout for that go-ahead homer. If that was and I'm not trying to say this disparagingly, like if that was a Christian Yelich go-ahead two-run homer, right? Like everyone's excited, of course, and they give him high fives. There's another level to this. You could tell the team was celebrating Joey as much as they were celebrating they took the lead.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, that's so nice to see. You kind of get a little bit about what this clubhouse is about. It's about the guys who are here and the guys who they have, and they're going to celebrate, and they want everybody to do well. And when this happened, the excitement there, it was so much for Joey. He was so pumped up. I think he ran around the bases. He was in full gear going around the bases. But as much as he did all that, the excitement was there. I think the neatest thing was when you got in that dugout, the appreciation to Joey and the excitement for him to be able to step up and get the big, big swing of the ball game. That was pretty special. That shows you the character of this ball club. And coming out after, like I said, a tough loss, having someone to step up and having Joey Ortiz to step up at the big home run, the way he swung the bat right there, I think is really special. It just shows you the character and the culture of this ball club. It's pretty special.
And also to Murph's credit here, and it was a 50-50 shot of what you decided to do, but with the way the lineup was structured facing a left-handed starter, you had the two righties at the bottom of the order in Cooper Pratt and Joey Ortiz. And, you know, Murph had to decide once the lefty was out of the game, who did he want David Hamilton to come in for? Did he want him to come in for Cooper? He could have put him in for Joey Ortiz. We've seen him do that before.
Sure he could.
He opted to sub out Cooper Pratt, the rookie. You know, he's been in a little bit of a funk the last couple of games. Said, all right, take a seat, young man. Go watch the game. I'm going to put David in here. Joey's going to stay in the game. And quite frankly, there were two mistakes by Joey earlier in this game that I'm sure he's frustrated about. Striking out looking with runners on the corners in the sixth inning. His throwing error in the seventh inning that ultimately did not come back to bite, thank goodness. Or in the eighth inning, I should say. I mean, those two mistakes, I'm sure he was repenting and, you know, thinking, if I get one more opportunity in this game, I am not going to miss it. And the third time was the charm for Joey Ortiz tonight.
Yeah, he stepped up. You know, you get these teams and you look at what Murph was trying to do there. I think he was thinking in two ways. Yeah, you talk about Cooper Pratt, who was just struggling a little bit, but he's also looking at that defensive side of the ball and what to do and what he can do the best on the offensive side. But, you know, sometimes you look at the defense and you look at late in the ball game and you want to make sure that you have the proper guys in the right position. And, you know, Joey Ortiz, you don't get any better on the defensive side. He makes so many great plays, struggled a little bit tonight earlier. But, you know, for him just to step up, you go around with this ball club and you look up and down this lineup, and there's a lot of different things that we talk about, and we sometimes agree with Murph and sometimes disagree with Murph, but there's a lot of different moves he can do because of the versatility of this team. And I think right there he was looking at, you know what, I'm going to be strong defensively. I can make this move, and I am still as strong as I usually am defensively, and I'm going to do it, and let's hope good things happen. And I'm going to tell you what, great things happened tonight for Joey Ortiz.
The other thing, too, about Joey and about the day that it was for the Brewers, all 13 position players got into this game, right? Every single player had their hand in this game one way or another, and that's what they needed to get back on track in this contest. It still wasn't perfect with runners in scoring position, but they finally maybe can point to a hit and point to a moment to say, okay, that's the release valve that they had been looking for. Today they go just 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position, but none bigger than the second hit with Joey's go-ahead homer. We have ignored the pitching staff because they were great, and it's becoming routine at this point of what the Brewers are able to do to keep offenses down. Brewers win 5-3. We'll get to some texts, 855-616-20, 855-616-1620, and also onto the live chat as well, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Smiling again, watching the center field camera of Joey Ortiz shouting at the ball, get up, ball, get up, ball. And as he sees it gone, just screams to the heavens with a smile on his face. Hey, the shaved head gang, welcome to the team there, Joey. He got rid of the frosted tips and hit a home run. So maybe the buzz cut summer is back for the Brewers as the crew wins today 5-3. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. You know, when I look at this game, Augie, I think the most unsung hero of this contest will be the starting pitcher because he's not in the pitcher of record, of course. But yet, Robert Gasser today really made one mistake, just one singular mistake, the home run he allowed to Ellie De La Cruz. We can fine-tooth comb this through his 96 pitches, of course. But to work into the sixth inning on a day that the bullpen was gassed, he kept his team in the contest. He got in and out of jams multiple times. He only walked one batter. There's a lot to like about Robert Gasser, who hadn't pitched in a week. So you had to figure there's a little bit of difficulty with Russ there, too.
Yeah, well, one thing you did going into the game, and you wanted Gasser to go in and really keep you in the ball game. And he made the mistake. I mean, he gave up a mistake with the home run, made a pitch. But I think he'd like to take back. Those things happen from time to time. When you look at how the guys swing the bat, and you see how De La Cruz just got a good pitch to hit and drove it out of the ballpark and gave them a 3-0 lead. But I tell you, he stuck with it. He gave him his one out away from giving him a quality start. That's what you're looking for. He had just a one walk in the 5 2/3 innings with 5 punch outs, kept the game in order. And that's what you want your starters to do. You want your starters to come out and keep you in the ball game and give you an opportunity to win. And I think Gasser did exactly what he was needed to be done.
You know, he was doing great in the race to 2 strikes. We talked about that a few times where, you know, that's one of the things the Brewers are graded on. It's like, how quickly can you get to a 2-strike count? Can you do it in less than 3 pitches? And, you know, he was doing that a handful of times. But in that first inning, you know, he gives up a 2-strike, 2-out single to Spencer Steer, no biggie. Then he gives up a 2-strike, 2-out walk to J.J. Bleday, a 2-strike, 2-out double to Dane Meyers. And you're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you're getting to 2 strikes, but you're not able to finish batters. And quite frankly, there were a few at-bats that had some longer outings with foul balls and maybe shortened his day today, especially the last batter, right? Noel V. Marte took him for 9 pitches in the last batter he faced in this game. Maybe he would have got the chance to face Tyler Stevenson if that had gone quicker. What did you see in those scenarios? Because he was doing a great job at getting to 2 strikes, and it felt like somehow only getting 5 strikeouts was a little bit underwhelming today.
Well, I think when you look at Gasser, I think he's got, you know, he throws that low 3/4 arm fastball, and he can locate it. When he can locate it both on both sides of the plate, he is really good. I think he's getting better command of the slurve, or whatever you want to call it, the sweeper, or whatever you want to call it. His ability, I think, to throw the sweeper with different types of break on it, I think, is really important. He'll give you a sweeper that's short, a little bit short, and then he'll let it go and get it a little bit bigger. I think when he starts to command that and can throw it for strikes, it makes him more effective, and he keeps it down in the zone. I think he's really, really good at that. And then when he throws the ball from that left side angle and is able to elevate the ball just, it seems like it gets on hitters real quick. But I think with what he's doing, I like the way he's been throwing his fastball. I like the way he's been getting the 2 strikes. I just think that he's starting to getting an idea of saying that, you know what, I'm going to be able to have my sweeper or my curveball or slider or slurve, whatever you want to call it. And what I want to do with that, I want to be able to throw it on 2 styles. I want to be able to throw it hard into a good spot on the outside part or inside part back leg, or I want to be able to throw it big. And I think he's starting to get the idea where that can be effective, because it's 2 pitches that are a little bit different in speeds, a little bit different break, and it's hard for a hitter when you see, all of a sudden you see it and you don't know how to react to it, because one time you throw it big, one time you throw it small, and then he's got that fastball up in his zone that he can throw.
Yeah, I think that Gasser's somebody, the Brewers know they have a weapon here. The Brewers know they have somebody that can work through a lineup multiple times. He can get righties out and have a chance to be a big league starter. The Brewers have the rare scenario right now where they kind of have too many guys, especially with Logan Anderson being on the mend, and maybe him back before the end of the All-Star break is certainly good news, and the Brewers will have a decision to make there when it comes to him returning, but that's for down the road. To see him continue to pitch well is important. And getting to this bullpen, the way that they pitched today, and first of all, Chad Patrick, for him to get back on the horse after the rough day on Saturday, he's had a rough couple of outings. I had a good chat with him on Sunday morning, Augie, and he explained to me how he feels. It's kind of rooted in his sinker right now. He really wants to get back to fastball, cutter, slurve, and then maybe just surprise hitters with the sinker. And, of course, one of the hits he allowed today was on the sinker, so that kind of goes into the scouting report. But after that hit, that was a base hit by Edwin Arroyo, or excuse me, not Edwin Arroyo, but rather by Matt McClain. He didn't throw another sinker the rest of the game. And I think him and William got on the same page, and you saw him get back on track with the clutch strikeout of Spencer Steer, leaving men on the corners in the seventh inning.
I thought it was a big step for Patrick tonight. He came out. I was kind of anxious to see when he got back in the game. It just seems over his last couple outings, when you throw with the arm angle that he does, and you want that breaking ball, that cutter and slurve, and you want the fastball, that four-seam fastball, you want it to locate it, you got to stay on top of the ball. And it just looked for me, now that's just what I'm seeing, it looked like his wrist was getting behind the ball, and the ball was becoming on flat. The slider was a little bit flat. The cutter was a little bit flat. And that fastball, when you throw it and you're behind the ball, it just doesn't have that good zest that you need on the ball, that good pickup speed that you might want to call it on the ball, the explosion on the ball. And look tonight that he was really, really understanding that, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay on top of the ball. I'm going to stay behind it. I'm going to locate it. And when I have to, I think I heard one thing that they said they threw a ball 98 miles an hour. That's a high velocity for Chad. But I thought tonight was a really big step for him in saying, you know what, I'm going to get back to what I do good. And, you know, if you throw a pitch and your hand's flat behind the ball just spins. It kind of comes out like a cement mixer with a breaking ball. It just doesn't have that good life. But tonight, he looked like he was on top of the ball with a good arm angle, and he had really good explosion.
I think the Brewers understand that Chad Patrick is going to throw leverage innings for them this season. They need him to throw leverage innings this season. That's the only way you're not going to be relying on Aaron Ashby, who, oh, by the way, gets his 11th win of the season today because the win is a stupid stat. He gets his 11th win of the season today. That's a fun little side quest. And then Trevor Megill locking down the ninth inning, right? Given how much those guys have been used, tomorrow, all right, you've probably got Uribe available. You've probably got Koenig available. And then there's some question marks beyond that. So the sooner you start developing Koenig and Patrick back into that trust tree, right, the more important it is for this bullpen to finally give days for Ashby, to give days for Uribe as they get toward the end of this 18-game-in-a-row stretch.
Yeah, I agree. Look at Chad. He threw 21 pitches today. You know, you look at it, 21 pitches, 18 strikes. Boy, that means he's got really good command. That means he was comfortable with his pitches and really seen and feeling good in the strike zone. And actually had 15, which he threw 11 for strikes. So you're seeing guys that it wasn't a big number of pitches. It might be a different look if you bring them back tomorrow. But I thought tonight was just a really good night that we kind of liked with this bullpen. Getting Chad Patrick back where he belongs and coming in the game and being that whether you're going to use him as a closer for the starter or however you're going to use him and being effective. And then, you know, the Hawk, Aaron Ashby, he just goes out and when he comes in the game, we're going to score runs. And that's just the way it is. But I'll tell you what, I thought Aaron was really good tonight. I thought he was sharp. He threw the ball really well. And then Megill has just been spot on his last several outings. So good night for the bullpen. This is what we needed to see. We knew if we kept the game close early that we had a chance to win it. And that's exactly what happened.
I agree entirely. So the Brewers get the dub 5-3 over the Reds in game one of a 4-game series. Does it mean anything? Are we overreacting? Are there things to monitor? We'll talk about that. But first, I want to give a shout out for who's hot and who's cold. And I tell you what, the entire state of Wisconsin is hot right now this week. Stay cool, everybody. Be smart. Do not strain yourself outdoors. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. This is coming from a caddy who was raised in Arizona. All right, don't mess with the heat. Anyway, Wisconsin homeowners, if you're thinking about a new cooling system, you definitely probably have one by now. Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. You can call or visit Sider.com today, Seider.com. Families helping families since 1912. And, I mean, a hot choice is Bryce Duran getting back on track with a home run today. Another hot choice, of course, is Trevor Megill. He's been phenomenal here in the month of June. The Brewers are rolling back on track. They still, despite as frustrating as that series was over the weekend, they have now won seven of their last 9 games, right? Feels like the sky's falling when it really isn't, all right? So what more did we learn? We'll talk about that next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. A 5 win on the night. Alex from Oshkosh. Forget what I said about runners and scoring position struggles before. Still 8-59 with the runners in scoring position the last 4 games. So what? Joey with the homer. Wow. Jeff from Elkhorn. Good for Joey O. That was awesome. Great job by the bullpen tonight. The Brewers always seem to bounce after tough losses. Murph pushed all the right buttons tonight. Get through this stretch and get to the All-Star break. Nice win tonight. Same thing here from the 920. Great team win. Bullpen bounce back. Are the Reds just cursed when they play Milwaukee? They're not this bad when I watch them play other teams. They might be. It's kind of amazing because, I was looking at the numbers, Augie, and it's sad because the Reds have the longest playoff series drought. They have not won a playoff series in 30 years since 1992, which is kind of unfathomable to think about, and it's the longest current drought in baseball. And have now they opened this series right with a dub, but they have won 18 of their last 21 series against the Reds. It's catching them at the right time, and in a 4-game set, if they win this one, you really feel like it's a curse.
Yeah, it is. And you look at the Cincinnati Reds. We're looking at the beginning of the season. You look at their starting staff, and a big question came about it: can they maintain it? Can they score enough runs? Is their bullpen going to be strong enough? And you know, it kind of shows up. You look at the Brewers bullpen tonight. How good they were. There wasn't a walk in the walk from the bullpen. They punched out five. They only gave up two hits, and they got the Brewers a win. You look at the Cincinnati; they struggled tonight. They just came in the game and they just couldn't hold the Brewers down. And it's been one thing with this Brewer ball club: you keep it close with Cincinnati till late in the ball game, and good things happen. We've seen it over the last several years, and it's been pretty special. And tonight was one of those days where you just know if you look at Gasser could just keep them at the three runs, you knew that something was going to happen that was good. And I'll tell you what, tonight was a Joey Ortiz night. He came up big, and special nights, you got to have them. And tonight was his night, and the Brewers came back with a really big victory.
You know, when I look at this team, and talked about this yesterday with Craig Kishon, though, Augie, but when I look at the struggle that they've been in these last 2 weeks or so offensively, and it's not over yet. Like tonight was not perfect with runners in scoring position by any stretch of the imagination. But when I look at this roster and I look at this team, a win like tonight, you kind of put on the bulletin board saying, we've done it before. All 13 guys got into the game, right? They had their finger in this game. This is the game that you look to in the middle of August when you're in the dog days and you're struggling and you're really sweating and you're like, hey, remember when they bounced back after back-to-back brutal losses against the Cubs and they were down 3-0 and then you scored 5 unanswered against the Reds? This is a win, and I'm not trying to overreact on it. But what I'm trying to say is this is a win that every team can look at in maybe a month or two time saying, you know what, that might have been a turning point. That might have been a really important event that we went through to prove to ourselves something. And that little bit of wind in your sails, as today was game number 4 of these 18 in a row, you can barely see the light at the end of the tunnel. Divided attention. We talk about it all the time. Oh, I got all-star break plans. I got my family flying in. I'm flying to wherever. I got to go take care of this. I got to get the house. All that divided attention needs to stay away from the clubhouse. It gets hard in these last 2 weeks heading into the all-star break, but the Brewers took a big step forward today.
Yeah, it was one of those games where you go like, they had a battle today. You know, you look at Gasser. He had runners. They were swinging the bat pretty good against him. They're actually getting runners on base, but you know what? He just didn't give in. You got to credit Gasser for that. Just saying, you know what? They've got runners on base. They're putting some pretty good swings on. But I am not going to allow them to score runs. And he made this. He made the stake to De La Cruz, and that happened. But he kept them right there. He kept the team within the abilities to come back. And they always know against Cincinnati, they've struggled in that bullpen, that if they can keep it close, they can come back. So I thought it was real special with this offense, the way they came back in that sixth inning, got the two runs, and Frank hits a home run in the seventh. Then they bounced right back in the eighth inning and scored two more. That's a great sign for this ball club, saying that, you know what, it's not over yet. We keep us in the game. We're still going to come through. We may not be swinging the bat where we like, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to battle. We're going to come through, and tonight it happened.
And, you know, when I look at tonight, yeah, there were some mistakes with runners in scoring position.
Absolutely.
Some of those, though, weren't necessarily process mistakes, though, if you get what I'm saying. Because, like,
You're
one
right.
of the mistakes would be Joey Ortiz looking at a strike three with runners on the corners. That's a mistake. But then you look at Sal Frelick drawing a walk with runners in scoring position, keeping the rally going. Even David Hamilton, it was a long battle. It was a six-pitch battle. He flies out to deep center. That's not a failure. That's a good process. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. Or Gary Sanchez swinging green light 3-0 with runners on first and second. Hits a 108-mile-an-hour rocket, but right to right field. Like, yes, it goes down as an 0-for-1, but the process was sound. So getting a step forward in the right direction, and Pat Murphy's messaging to the team was along those lines earlier today that you'll hear later on in the postgame show. But when you separate the results from the process, good things generally happen. When you focus on the process, say, you know what, I hit the ball hard, I got some bad luck, those all tend to even out.
Yeah, and that's where this team is. Dom, you said it perfectly with the process. There's a process that they use, and there's a process they use sometimes early in the game and later in the game, and there's such a good team when you get late in the game and that they go through that process. But really, this team is competitive. They know that any time in the game, they're competitive enough that if they stay with it, the good things are going to happen. I think you said it perfect. They stay with the process. The process works. They understand it. And I'll tell you what, tonight it really played off because you scored 5 runs in the last 3 innings, and that was really important. It got them a big win.
It was fantastic. Well, Augie, I appreciate you as always. I won't be with you tomorrow. Tuesday off day for me. But I will talk to you again later on this week, all right?
All right, it's great being with you. Hopefully the Brewers can step up tomorrow and put another good performance on. And it was great to see Joey Ortiz night at the ballpark. And, you know, it's good to see him step up, and we're even more appreciative of how that dugout reacted. So hopefully come back and get a win tomorrow and win the series.
All right. Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
All right. It's great to be with you.
All right. Buy or sell. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. So do you buy it? Do you sell it? I'm buying it that I saw a difference in their process tonight. When it comes to runners in scoring position, you could see the at-bats were lengthy. They were working counts. They were staying engaged in the battle and not trying to do too much, right? I did not see the same tense swings that we saw in that Cubs series. Today was a lot more Brewers-y baseball that we're used to seeing for the crew. Yes, they were only 2-for-9, but hey, one more hit, that's 3-for-10, and boom, that's a .300 batting average, and no one's complaining, right? So keep it in perspective. That's how these sample sizes work. Let's hear from Joey Ortiz. He's an easy pick for player of the game. Joey's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Here's another text. Mike in Colorado. I was out walking the dogs, and Joey's homer gave me watery eyes. After the called third strike in his previous at-bat, I was so glad for him and his teammates. His post-game interview was fabulous, too. He's a good guy. The crew needed this win. Thank you, Joey. Well, let's hear from the man. It was a great post-game. He caught up with Josh Maurer on the network post-game show. He's our International Autos Group Player of the Game, brought to you by International Autos. Right now, just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Here's Joey and Josh here after a big win for the homer for
Joey. Well, Joey Ortiz is downstairs with us as we speak. Joey, thanks so much for coming by. I know it's been a hectic last 30 minutes or so for you. How you feeling down there?
I'm on cloud nine right now. I feel pretty good.
All right, take me back to the swing. You're facing a TJ Anzone for the first time ever.
Yeah, you know, Murph and Vogie gave me a good game plan, you know, before stepping in the box. It helped me think a lot less than I normally would. And I just tried to look for a pitch in a certain zone, and, you know, I got it and was able to take a good swing.
It got off the batter's eye in center field. That's more than a poke, Joey. Did you know when you made contact that you'd gotten it that well?
Honestly, no. I've never hit a home run to center field in my life. So when I hit that ball, I was yelling for it to get out, and, you know, God willing, he took the ball out. So, you know, it was a good swing.
It sure was. I was watching your display of emotion as you rounded the bases afterwards, and I couldn't help but just feeling so great for you. And I know everybody in this ballpark who roots for the Brewers did as well. What was that emotion that was coming out at that moment? Can you kind of quantify it for us?
I'd probably say it's just, you know, wanting to help the team win. And, you know, I try my hardest out there, and, you know, God willing, you know, that I was able to take a good swing, and you know, a good thing happened, and I was able to put the team up ahead. And yeah, just a lot of emotion, because, you know, my biggest priority is to help the team win, and however I can do that, that's all that matters.
You talk about helping the team win, and you do so many things that contributes to that, to a winning ball club that's trying to win a fourth straight division championship. The fact that, you know, you've got Cooper Pratt here now, that's moved you off of shortstop for a lot of the last couple of weeks. You've had to go back to third base. Playing time a little bit more sporadic, although we see you in there still a lot of nights. How does that change things for you, Joey, or does it change them at all when you come to the ballpark every day?
It doesn't change. You know, I want to stay prepared no matter whether, you know, I'm playing short, third, wherever they need me. If I'm not starting that day, I just want to stay prepared. And, you know, there's a bigger plan, and that's to win a World Series. It doesn't matter about, you know, playing time, starting, whatever that is. It's all I care about is doing my job and, you know, making sure the team wins every night.
Brewers win 5-3 tonight. Thanks to Joey's home run as we visit with Mr. Ortiz here on the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel post-game show. This is a very challenging stretch by any measure. You're not going to have a day off till you get to the All-Star break. You're playing all these important games against division rivals like the Reds. What's the mood in the clubhouse as you guys attack these next couple of weeks leading into the All-Star break?
It's the same mood. You know, we show up to the ballpark every day ready to compete, and you know, we're ready to go. We want to stay healthy, you know, going into the break. And, you know, like I said, we just want to show up every day, compete, and win ball games. That's what's important.
I got to ask you about your pitching. It's been phenomenal here for these last few weeks. Tonight, Robert Gasser, yeah, he gave up a home run. But other than that, it was a phenomenally pitched game by Robert and by the bullpen behind him. When you're watching these guys work right now, the confidence that I imagine that everybody behind them has to be through the roof. But what do you think? Whoever's pitching for you guys these days?
It's like you said. I mean, we know they're going to attack the zone as a defender, and it, you know, it keeps us on our toes. And it's just fun to play behind them because, you know, they're going to go right after hitters. It doesn't matter who the team is or who the hitter is. You know, they're going to attack, and it definitely fires up the offense to see, you know, our pitchers go out there and do their job. It makes us want to do our job as well.
Last one for you. A lot of talk the last couple of days about hitting with runners in scoring position, and I know that that's not a topic that anybody in the clubhouse really cares that much about right now. But, boy, you got a big one. Is there a valve that kind of gets released when there's a swing like you had? Like, maybe that lifts a weight, not off of just yourself, but could it be for everybody? It's like, all right, we lifted that cloud.
I guess we'll see tomorrow. You know, hopefully we get a bunch of runners in scoring position and, you know, cash them all in. But, you know, it's such a tough game, and, you know, you're going to go through stretches like that. But I feel like, you know, our hitting staff and Murph and, you know, our veterans do such a good job of, you know, keeping our head up, you know, making sure we're still ready to attack and ready to compete. And, you know, stretches like that are going to happen. It's such a long season, but we just got to keep our head up and keep moving forward.
Awesome stuff, Joey. We're so happy for you, and congrats on a great win for the team.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Joey Ortiz joining us on 620 WTMJ and across the network. So we've heard from Joey, so let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. He's on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ. Another road post-game show. I've got another one of these next week when the Brewers are in St. Louis. I will be in Florida. Got Yankees to tomorrow. I got quite the pitching matchup tomorrow. I'll get the scouting report on it on a Scooble for you guys. I got Cam Schlittler and Tarek Skubal tomorrow here for TBS. And then I'll be in Tampa for Yankees Rays down in the Trop. But this road post-game show on YouTube, thanks to everybody who's hanging out here. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, satisfied after a 5-3 victory over
so much for us over the last 2 years, playing an elite shortstop and then and just a trusted shortstop, you know, and then going through everything he's had to go through this year, and then, you know, getting a chance to play short again. He makes an error and then comes through the way he did. I can't tell you. The whole team is so happy for him. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, it's really special. That was a Brewers win tonight. That, we've seen that before, but it was gritty. We had no luck early. We hit 5 line drives and got caught. You know, the kid made an incredible play in center field, and I hope he's okay. But an incredible play. And the line drive in right field by Gary that got caught, you know. Sal's line drive right at him. You know, you can go on and on, but we were having good at-bats. We just couldn't come up with anything. And for Gas to keep us close, and then, you know, Hammy made a couple defensive plays, but everybody played, you know. All 13 position players played. And yeah, it was really special. Special that Joey was the hero.
After a couple of years of playing most every day, for that to change recently, have you seen signs of frustration or head hanging?
No, I've seen the opposite. I've seen great attitude. I've seen having fun again. I've seen a kid that's accepted his role and looking forward to be just a good Major League Baseball player for a while. So really happy for him.
Maybe taking some pressure off?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I just see what I see. You know, I'm just he's been a delight to be around, teammate. He always has been. He's a great person, cares about others. Yeah.
Mark, what about Sal's at bats tonight? And he was the one that got things going again in the eighth.
Look at Sal over the last, 20 days. He's been tremendous. He's been tremendous every at bat. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. And you'll look up here in a month and you'll be like, whoa. He's Sal again,
Mark and Bryce is at bat. Had two tough swings at the sweeper and then sits back on it. It's been just that kind of at bat we haven't seen in a while from him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's been working at it. You saw yesterday, what did he do? It's like a sprinkler head, right? When you're trying to get everything going over here, what does a sprinkler do? It comes back. And he did it. Yesterday he had three balls to the left side. It was just a matter of time before he timed something up, got himself connected again, and timed something up. Great swing.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Bryce Terang maybe a little bit more on Thursday's Brewers Weekly, Thursday night. Got something planned on that. I want to talk a little bit about Chad Patrick, too, in that one as well, as the Brewers get a key victory today, and they win this one by a final of 5-3. Let's go ahead and relive it with some highlights coming up after the break on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Reds opening up a key four-game series, the final series at home of the first half for the crew. As they start the mathematical second half, it makes sense if you don't think about it that the Brewers started with Robert Gasser on the mound. He was behind 1-0 after one inning of play, but he got some help with his friends in the
third. 2-1 on a dangerous hitter. Here it is. Ground ball to second base. Backhanded by Terang. To Pratt for one. On to first for two. Double play. 4-6-3 and the inning is over.
Problem is the Brewers were struggling themselves with runners in scoring position once again. They left two aboard in the first. They left a man on third in the second. They left one aboard in the third. They left two aboard in the fourth. You get the picture. The pressure is mounting. What is going on? And then to make matters worse, Ellie De La Cruz hit a two-run homer in the fifth inning. He loves hitting against us. So it's 3-0 Cincinnati as we pick things up again. Robert Gasser returns for the sixth inning. He allows a leadoff single to the lefty, J.J. Blade. He strikes out Dane Myers. Then Noelvi Marte pops out to end his day. And Chad Patrick comes in to relieve him, trying to get back on track.
Long hold, and now the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Elevated a fastball up and out of the zone at 97 miles an hour. And Stevenson went after it. So Patrick comes in and gets the ortho ASAP strikeout.
More from Chad in a moment, but that was finally some energy for the Brewers, and they would respond with a one-out rally in the bottom of the sixth. Andrew Vaughn hit a lucky double down the left field line. He gets aboard. Yelly comes off the bench. He walks, and you just need that little flick of the wrist from Jake
Petty
Bowers.
Petty looks at second and brings home the pitch, and Bowers a liner into left. That's going to get down for a base hit. Racing around third is Vaughn. He's going to score. On his way to third is Yelich. The Brewers on the board. It's 3-1 Cincinnati. An RBI single for Jake Bowers.
It would add another on a wild pitch to score Christian Yelich, but that's where they would leave it, leaving two men aboard after Joey Ortiz struck out to end the sixth. 3-2 ball game. Chad Patrick back to work in the seventh inning after his own error and also some good defense from David Hamilton. Two men aboard in a jam and a one-run game.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss. He got him. That's the cutter and a beauty. Tied up Spencer Steer, and he strikes him out to strand a pair here in the top of the seventh.
Then it was time to roll out the barrel and roll out Bryce Terang. Finally, something good for him offensively.
2-2. Terang, high, deep drive to center. Friedel back. Friedel turning. Friedel watching. Goodbye, we are tied. Off the center field, batter's eye for Bryce Terang. No doubt about it, shot 3-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Brewers have come from three behind.
So it's a brand new game. They've scored three unanswered. Aaron Ashby left the man stranded in the eighth, and the Brewers in the bottom of the eighth got a one-out bloop single from Sal Frelick. He was bunted the second by David Hamilton. Joey Ortiz took center stage.
Runner at second is Frelick. He's there with two outs, a 3-3 ball game, bottom of the eighth inning. The 1-1. And a fly ball to center, hit well. Friedel back at the track, at the wall. Jolly goes deep. A two-run shot. Ortiz answers the call in the eighth. And the Brewers lead it 5-3.
Now the Brewers closer, Trevor Megill. He's been worked a lot lately, but he was ready for the moment once again.
This would be a well-earned victory tonight for the Brewers, coming from behind. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Elevated a fastball at 98. De La Cruz strikes out swinging, and the Brewers come all the way back tonight, and they win it 5-3 to take game one of this series.
Blaine Grindle's call there as the Brewers hang on. They were out hit by the Reds. 9 in favor of Cincinnati. In fact, the Brewers even had two errors, and they only went 2 for 9 with runners in scoring position, but they left the yard twice, and none bigger than Joey Ortiz's go-ahead 2-run homer in the eighth. And yep, Aaron Ashby gets his 11th win of the season. Megill gets his 11th save as well. Ashby leads baseball in wins as a pitcher. It's silly. It's funny. It's a bit. Let's see how much longer it can last. So the Brewers get the victory today. They improve to 51-31, back to 20 games above 500. The Reds fall to 39-44. Same time, same place tomorrow. It is a 6:40 first pitch. Brewers will hand a ball to Brandon Sproat. He pitched well against the Reds last week. Of course, the 6 shutout on the heels of Brandon Woodruff's 6 shutout up against Rhett Lauder, the right-hander for Cincinnati. Then Wednesday is a later start, a 7:10 start with ESPN coming to televise the game. That'll be another lefty battle. Andrew Abbott and Shane Drouin. And then get your popcorn for Thursday. The Miz takes the mound again, and also the t-shirt giveaway. 20,000 fans get a Miz t-shirt to go with him on the mound against Chase Burns, a couple of great right-handers who are going to be in Cy Young contention for a very time in this division, take the mound coming up on Thursday. So really, really looking forward to that. The Brewers will get ready to go and try to keep the good times rolling against Cincinnati, as they are a perfect 4-0 against the Redlegs this season. That is going to just about do it for our program here tonight. Thank you so much for listening, whatever it may be. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. Big thanks to Jerry Augustine as well. I'm Dominic Catronio. I am off tomorrow, but I'll be back for Wednesday night's program. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your pods. Until then, keep on swinging.